2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a very important chapter because we have Christians today, as in the day of the Apostle Paul, that are very, very gullible, Christians who can be easily corrupted and deceived, beguiled by people who open the Bible and may pretend to be ministers of Christ or may be sincere in what they believe to be God's work and yet are not proclaiming the truth as we must hear it and as we must proclaim it. And the Apostle Paul is very concerned for the Corinthians. There are some serious problems at the church at Corinth. We saw many of them in 1 Corinthians, but as we look at some of the problems in 2 Corinthians, very, very serious problems because there were those that were coming and teaching things that were destructive to the Corinthians. Paul says, beginning with verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." That's Paul's love and attitude toward the Corinthians because they were being beguiled. They were being destroyed in their faith by false teachers who were coming and proclaiming false doctrines that they were readily believing and accepting. And he says, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And that provides the setting for this entire chapter. The problem of Corinthian believers, the problem of people in the church today being beguiled, even as Eve was beguiled through the subtlety of the serpent. Paul says, "I'm concerned that your minds," which is where everything takes place, where things that matter happen, it's in the mind. And he's concerned that their minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so we have exposed in this chapter how the serpent, how Satan seeks to beguile and deceive Christians. And as you look openly and honestly at what's going on in Christianity today and on television and on the radio, you will see the corruption that is taking place. 2 Corinthians 11 exposes all of that. And so the first thing that Paul says here, if he that comes preaches another Jesus, that's the first thing that he mentions here. He that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. That's the standard. The Jesus that the Apostle Paul preached is the one that we're to believe and follow. Not a Jesus from previous ages and from previous programs and having come for other purposes. We must understand who Christ is as revealed by the Apostle Paul and follow him. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or number two, if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, you have received the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Triunity with his unique and special ministries as they relate to the body of Christ. Do not accept any other spirit or any other works that are ascribed to the Spirit of God which he is not performing today. And so much of the church today is believing that the Holy Spirit is doing things that God has no part in. And Paul says, be careful that you be not beguiled as Eve was beguiled by the serpent through his subtlety, by believing or receiving the work of a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. To take that which the Holy Spirit has done in other ages for other purposes and ascribe them to what the Spirit of God is doing today is to receive another spirit. It is not to receive the Spirit of God. Thirdly, he says, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. Another gospel which you have not accepted. The gospel that they accepted is the gospel that the Apostle Paul proclaimed. It's the gospel which he calls the gospel of Christ or the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Paul proclaims clearly the gospel that was revealed to him and through him to us. And if you believe or proclaim any other gospel, you are being beguiled by Satan in the darkness of his awful teachings. And this was a concern of the Apostle Paul. So receiving another gospel or accepting a gospel that is not the gospel that God intends to be proclaimed and believed today is to be beguiled by the serpent, by Satan. It is to accept Satan's program, Satan's plan of evil for the church, the body of Christ, and for this age. Verse 5. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. That gives us the next point. It's you better be careful, Paul says, of accepting those that have flowery and eloquent words that claim to be or may very well be educated in this world. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles, but though I be rude in speech, it's a revelation about how his speech was viewed. By the way, do you know that that word rude, but though I be rude in speech, the word rude is the Greek word idiotis, which is, you think I'm an idiot. It's where we get the English word idiot. I appear to many as an idiot, Paul says, very openly and clearly. Though I appear to be idiotic in what I'm proclaiming in my speech, yet not in knowledge, I know some things to be true, and false apostles, false teachers, proclaiming a false work of the Holy Spirit and proclaiming another Jesus than the one Paul proclaimed and preaching another gospel, they know nothing. Even though I am seen by them and by others as being rude, rudimentary, unlearned, ignorant, idiotic in my speech, yet not in knowledge. How easy to accept people who have degrees at the end of their names, people who've had certain types and levels of education and assume that because they're educated, that therefore they're able to proclaim the truth accurately. That's following men and men's credentials and not God's. The Apostle Paul had knowledge that was given to him by direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. These people that came to Corinth from Jerusalem, saying that the Apostle Paul could not be a right apostle. He could not be teaching the truth. Why? Well, we've seen many of the reasons. One of the things they said was because he brings no letters of commendation from Jerusalem, from the authorities, from the hierarchy of Jerusalem. He's not acknowledged. He's not ordained by them. And receiving letters of commendation as if the Apostle Paul needed that. He had something far greater than the commendation of men. He was appointed by God the Son himself as an apostle and commissioned for a certain purpose. But they said, he has no commendation from the hierarchy of the church. They said his preaching is a totally different gospel than we've ever proclaimed. Yes, we've heard some good news. We've heard that the kingdom was coming, and we believed that, and we proclaimed it. But here he comes preaching a gospel that is totally different. And they were accusing him of preaching something that was heretical and which caused much of his suffering and persecution. So no letters of commendation. He was preaching a totally different gospel. He was teaching that the law of Moses has no jurisdiction over believers today, and they considered that to be heresy. They who proclaimed the law with great pride and couldn't keep it themselves, trying to bring believers into bondage by the commandments that they proclaimed to be keeping when they kept none of them. And so says the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says the law was never given to justify any man, to declare anyone righteous. It was given in order to reveal to man that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. It was to make eternally clear the need of man. It was never given as a means by which a person would be rightly related to God. And now the Apostle Paul says, we have died to the law. We've been set free from the law. And they said, who is this man who proclaims such heresy? And then they said, as we see here, that he was rude in speech, unlearned. Another thing that they said is, he has no financial support. He has no means of support. Paul defends that here in 2 Corinthians 11. That was an accusation, believe it or not. He purposely refused support from the Corinthians. He says, I robbed other churches in order to support myself. Not literally robbed in the sense that we consider stealing. But he accepted gifts from other churches while he was ministering at Corinth, when the Corinthians should have been supporting him. But that was a claim that these false teachers, these people from Jerusalem, came and said, he doesn't have letters of commendation from the hierarchy. He is preaching something totally different. He's attacking our law. His speech is idiotic. And look at him. He doesn't even have any support. The 12 apostles had support. They had a treasurer, if you recall. Somebody who watched the money, counted the money, took care of the money. He happened to have loved that money and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul had no support. And so be careful about those who speak eloquently and flowery and in educated manners, but that's not the standard by which to judge the accuracy or the rightness or correctness of somebody's teaching. It is the truth. It is the content, and always the content that is critical. And so be careful, Paul says, that you not be beguiled as the serpent beguiled Eve, that you would be deceived and destroyed in your faith and taken away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you will, if you start believing those who proclaim a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel, and those who assert themselves by their education. A fifth warning that Paul gives here is the warning of those that rob you and love your money and not you. Verse 7. Have I committed a sin, an offense, in abasing myself, in humbling myself, that you might be exalted? How did he abase himself? how did he humble himself in the presence of the Corinthians? Have I committed an offense, he says, because I humbled myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God free of charge? Have I done something wrong? These people from Jerusalem accused him of something wrong. They said, you're not really an apostle. You don't even have support to be an apostle. And Paul defends himself and says, did I do something wrong by doing that? He says, you be careful. Be careful about teachers. Be careful about those who claim to be in ministry, who are looking for money, who are enriching themselves at the expense of the poor, who are building for themselves great cathedrals and great mansions at the expense of those who give sacrificially in order to support the poor, they think, in order to support that which is called ministry. Paul explodes that wide open here. And he says some very strong things about these people and about the fact that Satan is the one that is behind this. Have I committed a sin, an offense, in humbling myself that ye might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I was not supported by you. I was supported by other churches, the churches of Macedonia, Philippi specifically, of whom we already read in chapter 8, that not out of their abundance, but out of their great need, they gave sacrificially. They gave when they hardly had anything to give. They gave out of their own need in order to support Paul while he was ministering here in this very, very wealthy church. Shame on you, Paul says. You have the gall to accept the accusations of those who come and say that I've done something awful to you because I don't receive support from you. Verse 9, and when I was present with you and wanted, when I had need while I was with you, I was chargeable to no man. There was need in the life of the Apostle Paul. There was the need for financial support. There was the need for him to eat. But he said, when I wanted, when I needed something, I was chargeable to no man. And he tells us why. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows. There are those who will come and appeal to you and to your emotions to try to drain you of your financial means, doing it under the guise of God's work and God's ministry. And Paul says, you be careful about that. Be careful. Because it doesn't mean that it is legitimate and that because they present a need, that you're the one that needs to meet that need. You better be discerning, Paul says, because you stand in danger of being beguiled, as the serpent beguiled Eve, which led to Eve giving the fruit to eat to Adam and plunged the whole human race into spiritual bankruptcy and enmity against God. That's how serious that was. And he said, this thing is serious. The fact that you are accepting false teachers. And he exposes them wide open here. And so it is those that rob you and love your money rather than loving you. Paul says, it's not the way I lived. It's not the way I acted. The sixth point or sixth warning that the Apostle Paul gives here is those that accept any apostles other than the Apostle Paul. Boy, he faces these things head on, because that's the only way to face it. It's the only way to address it. It's the only way to deal with it. It's the only way that the Corinthians and you and I will be helped. He says, but what I do, verse 12, but what I do, that will I do that I may cut off occasion, incentive from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. I am here to prevent those who seek occasion, incentive to damage you, to hurt you, to beguile you. And I will continue to do that, Paul says. And then he calls it the way it is. He says, for such are false apostles. False apostles. So there are many things that the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Paul says about them. What was the problem with the Corinthians? Well, in verse 5, in verse 4, the end of verse 4, he says, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You are tolerating people. Tolerating. You are bearing with. You're accepting people. Accepting of people that are not teaching you the truth. Accepting of those who claim to be in ministry, who are dragging you away, beguiling you, and destroying your faith. Look at verse 19. Paul says, for ye suffer fools gladly. To suffer fools means you accept. You accept fools. How do you accept them? Gladly. How damaging, how hurtful to the Corinthians. You are so gullible that you accept anything dressed in clerical garb as being true. You suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer, you endure, you accept. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, you are accepting of that, and you call yourselves wise. You accept fools gladly. That was the problem at Corinth. Terrible problem, and it's a problem in the church today. The gullible church, the gullible Christians who are being beguiled, even as the serpent beguiled Eve. Back to verse 12. But what I do, that will I do that I may cut off occasion from them. Verse 13, for such are false apostles. So there's some things that Paul says here. They are apostles, but they're false apostles. These people do work. Apostles are those who are ambassadors. And the apostles of Jesus Christ are ambassadors of Christ. They're Christ's messengers, Christ sent ones. But these who claim to be apostles and who appear to be doing the work of apostles are false, Paul says in verse 13. For such are false apostles. And then he says they are deceitful. These are adjectives defining, describing these people. Deceitful, verse 13, deceitful workers. You see, these are actions. Apostles were those that communicated, those that worked in the name of Christ, but they were false, falsely claiming the name of Christ. They were not just deceitful, they were deceitful workers. They worked hard at their deceit, at deceiving people. Deceitful workers, they did not sit idly by letting things happen. They worked hard and endlessly to deceive. And then see what he says in verse 13 again. Not only does he say they're false apostles, they're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There are three transformations that Paul refers to here. The first one, transformation number one, those that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's why it's so hard to discern them. And Paul has to expose them openly because they claim to be apostles of Christ. They name the name of Christ. Got to be careful about the vain use of Christ's name in ministry. Just because people use the name Jesus or the name Christ doesn't mean that they're legitimate and genuine proclaiming truth that you should hear and believe. That's what Paul is saying here, because there are those who are false apostles and deceitful workers who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They will be shocked when they face Christ himself. We have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking of that in the Gospels when he says there are those who will come to me and say, we believed in you, we worked for you, we proclaimed your name, we healed in your name, we cast out demons in your name. And Christ says to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What exposure. Workers of iniquity. And we shall see that it's no small thing for us to be doctrinally and scripturally accurate, because you and I have the capacity that the Corinthians had to be easily beguiled and to be gullible when we hear certain so-called spiritual things. Because we must be clear on the fact that the Jesus we preach today is according to the revelation of the mystery. It's the Jesus that Paul revealed. The spirit we receive today is the spirit that Paul preached. The gospel we accept is the gospel that Paul preached. And the apostle for today is the only one apostle for the body of Christ. The household manager stated so, not just by Paul, but by Christ himself through Paul. He is the household manager of the body of Christ, no different than Moses was the household manager of Israel. By his laws, the people were to live, and by his laws, they were judged. And they better listen to Moses if they were going to listen to God and follow him. And you and I better listen to Paul if we're going to listen to God and follow him. There's only one apostle for today. There are no other apostles that we are to follow today. And Paul, in his epistles, if you study it carefully, you will see that over and over and over again, he claims that he and he alone was given God's revelation for the body of Christ. He and he alone is the apostle of this dispensation of the grace of God. He alone And we must unashamedly stand on that, believe that, and proclaim it, because that is the truth. And that's what Paul stood for, and why he endured such terrible trouble and suffering. And so here we have these people that transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. A lot of people believe. They're ambassadors for Christ. They're proclaiming Christ's message and doing Christ's work, and they're not. And Paul exposes that here into clear view so that you and I will not be beguiled as the serpent beguiled Eve. Then number 7, there's another description here, is that we are gullible and deceived and destroyed by those that accept as light that which stems from Satan, darkness. Look at verse 14. And no marvel. No marvel what? No marvel that these false apostles and deceitful workers transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. It's no big no marvel. It is no surprise. It shouldn't be shocking to you. Because here we have the second transformation. We have the transformation of Satan into an angel of light. And no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Hard to discern because it looks like light. Hard to understand because it sounds like a message of light. He looks just like light. He transforms himself into an angel of light. That is Satan's plan of evil for the church, for this dispensation of the grace of God, is to transform apostles, false apostles, into the apostles of Christ, and to transform himself into an angel of light. Be careful, Paul says, that you don't accept anything that may look like light, that may sound like light, but that may come from Satan, who transforms himself into an angel of light. What protection do we have for this kind of transformation? It's the revelation that God has given us. It's sound doctrine. It's being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is being crystal clear on what God's message is to the church, the body of Christ. And if you're not clear on that, if you're not standing strong and firmly grounded in the truth, trust me, trust Paul, you will be beguiled, because there are things that are going to come at you that look like light, that look like apostles, that look like truth, and they're not. And they're designed by Satan specifically to grab you and swallow you up and destroy you. Paul gets even stronger as we go on in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, because we not only have an acceptance of light is that which stems from darkness, Satan himself. You see, he transforms himself. Here we have an angel. Angel of light. You see, in Israel's economy, an angel had a very specific role. Angels were ministers to Israel. They were active in Israel's program. Don't think that these people just sit idle and do nothing, waiting for you to accept something. They are active in their pursuit, active in their attempt to beguile you. It's on the one hand scary if you are not firmly grounded in truth. On the other hand, it causes us to rejoice that we've been given the weapons to be able to fight this kind of attack and the protection to fight this kind of deception that comes steadily at us. And then number 8, those that accept Satan's messengers as ministers of righteousness. Look at verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing. Therefore, why therefore? For Satan himself, verse 14, is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no big deal. It's no big deal, no great thing, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. There's the third transformation we have here. The transformation of ministers. Satan's ministers that appear to be ministers of righteousness. It sounds like righteousness. It looks like righteousness. It is made to appear as righteousness, but it is designed to trap you and beguile you. Therefore, it is no great thing. No big deal. Do you think it's a big deal for him who transforms himself into an angel of light? Do you think it's a big deal for him who has apostles who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ to have ministers transformed into ministers of righteousness? Remember how we began this chapter. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Why is Paul all worked up about this? It's because the Corinthians believed these people that transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. They believed and followed these people who were transformed by Satan as the apostles of Christ. They were falling into the trap of him who transforms himself as an angel of light. Be careful. Be very careful about what you hear and what you accept as truth by those who appear to be apostles, by those who appear to be ambassadors for Christ, by those who appear to be light, by those who appear to preach righteousness. Be careful, Paul says. It is possible for you to hear all that and to be beguiled and destroyed. The Corinthians were, listen, the Corinthians for a year and a half had the benefit, the privilege of sitting at the feet of the Apostle Paul himself. Can you imagine that? The privilege of sitting at his feet and being filled with sound, health-giving doctrine. These people heard it for a year and a half. And still, they were not grounded. They were carnal. They were babies who did not take the doctrine that they heard for a year and a half and assimilate it and allow it to become part of the fiber of their being. And so a wind of doctrine comes by false apostles. A wind of doctrine comes by an angel of light. When a wind of doctrine comes by those who appear to be preaching righteousness, and they gullibly accept it to their own destruction. Do you know that there are people sitting in churches today all over this world and all over this country, thinking that they're listening to something that is sound and true by those who transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness. It's a dangerous thing, so we need to evaluate we need to be sensitive to. We need to be very careful about what we listen to, what we hear. People choosing to submit themselves to teaching that is not accurate and sound. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. There were great doctrinal problems at Galatia. People who were trying to mix law and grace together, as if we could somehow live the Christian life by both. And when you introduce law, you cannot live the Christian life by either, law or grace, because it has to be grace alone. And we have people subjecting themselves to Galatianism week after week after week after week, a steady diet of Galatianism, which is bound to do damage spiritually and personally to individuals. Paul is so clear and so strong about the danger of being beguiled. He's not talking here about atheists who proclaim openly and boastfully their atheism. He's talking here about those that disguise themselves and are transformed as light and ministers of righteousness and apostles of Christ. That's the danger. It's easy to distinguish between an atheist and a God-fearing individual. That's easy. That's simple. It's easy to show the wrong in somebody who adheres to the philosophies of this world, somebody who denies the existence of God, somebody who proclaims that God did not create this universe and God did not create man, but that somehow it came into existence through some kind of an explosion in the distant past, which men somehow in their foolishness think they can measure. That's easy. You know, because we know that God created the heavens and the earth, and anyone that denies that is anti-God and anti-truth. It's easy to distinguish between some doctrines that clearly are false and that stand in stark contrast with the truth. That's not what Paul is addressing here. He's addressing something that is much more difficult to distinguish, something that must be understood and must be distinguished. It is here that the Apostle Paul says that there are those that are preaching another Jesus other than the one I preached. It is here where Paul says, you are ascribing to the Holy Spirit things that the Holy Spirit is not doing. But people are ascribing things to the Holy Spirit. This is religious. This is taking scripture. You are believing Satan, who's transformed as an angel of light. You are believing workers who are transformed into ministers of righteousness. It sounds right. It sounds righteous. But Paul says, you better be careful because you will be beguiled, even as the serpent beguiled Eve. And so you would never know at first glance that these are Satan's messengers, Satan's workers. You need to listen carefully and discerningly. You need to be firmly grounded in the truth. Preachers all over, some we consider in evangelical churches, having ministers of Satan transformed as ministers of righteousness. And trust me, they use the Bible extensively. So be careful. That's the word that Paul is issuing here. It's interesting that Satan has an incredible wardrobe, as somebody has said. He has appeared in the past as a serpent. We find him appearing as a dragon in Scripture. We find him appearing as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour when he's dealing with Israel's program. But in the dispensation of the grace of God, today in his role in the church and against the church, Paul says he's transformed into an angel of light. That's the way to deceive. That's the way to get you if you are not firmly grounded in the truth, the Word of God. How do you evaluate a ministry? How do you discern what is right and wrong? Well, here are some basics. Because there are some things missing in some of the largest churches in the world and some of the largest churches in the United States of America. I defy you to identify a clear, true presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ where it is proclaimed clearly and boldly, unmistakably, number one, that man is a sinner. And number two, that because man is a sinner, he deserves the judgment of God. Because God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a God who does not tolerate sin. And when man sinned, God immediately devised a plan to save man. And so man is a sinner, deserving the judgment of God. And thirdly, there's only one provision for man's sin and sinfulness, for man's judgment from God. There's only one provision, and that is salvation offered through the shed blood of Christ and the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. That's what you need to be listening to and listening for. It is not about a prosperity gospel of health and happiness that is deceiving. It is proclaimed by those who transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness, who are serving Satan, who transforms himself as an angel of light, and they are false apostles, false ambassadors of Christ. Man is a sinner who deserves the judgment of God. I didn't invent that. That comes from Paul proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly in the book of Romans, where he carefully and in detail delineates the fact that man is a sinner who deserves the judgment of God, and that the only provision for man's salvation is the finished work of Christ on the cross, the shed blood of Christ, Christ dying as our substitute and as our representative on the cross. And salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone, totally apart from works. Works do not enter into it. It is not as a result of works. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not as a result of works. Find that proclaimed steadily, regularly in the public ministries that we hear today. But Christians are flocking gullibly to these ministries and getting a steady diet of wrong, a steady diet of that which is designed by Satan to captivate them and to enslave them to that which appears to be light but is in truth darkness, to that which appears to be righteousness but is in fact unrighteousness. And then further, as the Apostle Paul teaches us, we better sit under the teaching of the Word of God rightly divided, because it's no small thing when Paul tells Timothy that he must study, to show himself approved unto God. Study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And clearly, Paul teaches that if we do not rightly divide the word of truth, we shall be ashamed workmen, because we ought to know better. It is clearly taught in the word of God, and it is easily discerned by those who are sincerely looking for the truth. And so be careful about what you hear and what you accept. and what you avail yourself of every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul faced this over and over again. And he says, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel, that unique gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And he refers to those who seem to be of reputation in verse 6, of these who seemed to be somewhat. Among them was James. The Lord Jesus Christ appointed Peter as the head of the apostles and the head of the kingdom church. James was not an apostle. James was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who may very well have appointed himself to a position that didn't belong to him. Then he says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. That's Satan's plan of evil, to bring in false brethren unawares. We can't pick them out. We can't discern them. We gullibly accept them. Who were brought in unawares, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And what did we do? How did we respond to them? Did we have a nice, friendly discussion with them? Did we give them equal time? Did we allow them to present their position for an hour and then we debated for another hour and presented ours? That's not what Paul says. He says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We did not give error equal time. Error should not get equal time. If we are to teach, we are to teach the word of God boldly and firmly, rightly divided, because that is what benefits and ultimately establishes Christians. Anything else is accepting less. Anything else opens you up to be beguiled, even as the serpent beguiled Eve. In Acts chapter 15, which is what Paul is referring to back in Galatians chapter 2, just one verse. Verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Heresy. That's why Paul spent so much time teaching that the law is no longer that which has jurisdiction over Christians today. These people came and said, yes, you need grace. Yes, you need Paul's gospel, but you need to keep the law of Moses too. And these were the false brethren who came in unawares, privately, to spy out their liberty, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. So here's the warning that Paul issues, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 13, Paul says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what Paul is addressing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. False apostles, those that transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, those that transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. How do you protect yourself against that? How? There's wonderful protection, and it is exemplified to us in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, by a wonderful small group of people called the Bereans. And when the Apostle Paul went there, he proclaimed the truth of the gospel to the Bereans. And there are some things that you need to do carefully that will protect you. What is our protection? First of all, you better listen carefully. You better listen carefully and discerningly. How many people attend churches today and just sit there to get it over with? The shorter the better. The funnier, the more entertaining. Folks, this is serious, serious stuff. Because it has to do with your spiritual health and your protection. Listen carefully and discerningly. Don't accept anything and everything that a man says to you. Any man. Because the Apostle Paul warned in Galatians chapter 1, he said, if we come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So he said, you better evaluate what I say based on the truth. So listen carefully. Look at what it says in Acts 17, beginning with verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why does Paul set them up as noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. How do you receive the word of God? Is it something that you do on Sundays because it's the right thing to do on Sundays? Is it something that you do because this is where your nurture comes in? This is where your lifeline is. It's the truth. Listen carefully, carefully and discerningly. And don't accept it just because a man, any man, says it. Listen carefully. They received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They were eager to hear, but they were not gullible. Because they didn't just listen carefully, they investigated thoroughly. They took what, of all things, I mean, the Apostle Paul said. I mean, I sit at the feet of the Apostle Paul and I'm just going to soak it in and believe everything he says. The Bereans were more noble than that. Because it says here that they were more noble and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't accept it just because Paul said it. They wanted to verify it against the one and only standard by which we evaluate all things, and that is the Word of God. If it didn't match the Word of God, Paul was wrong. If it matched the Word of God, Paul was right. And that's what the Bereans did. They listened with a readiness of mind, carefully, intently. They wanted to soak it in and absorb it. They needed the doctrine. But they didn't just accept it gullibly. They went and they searched the scriptures carefully, daily, whether those things were so. And it's incumbent upon you as a Christian to investigate things thoroughly. Not just to sit there and take it in and accept it just because a verse is being quoted or because a man of the cloth, so to speak, says it, who has a Bible education and has been to seminary and may have a doctorate, has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. The standard is the Word of God. And so listen carefully, investigate thoroughly. Believe completely. Once you hear the truth, once you investigate it and see it for yourself, Have a conviction on it. Stand on it. Be willing to give your life for it, because it's the truth. And so we see that they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Then we see that verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. They didn't just believe it because the Apostle Paul said it. They believed it because the Apostle Paul said it, and they saw it for themselves as they examined the scriptures every day, and they said, he's right. This is true. Absolutely. And they stood on it and were willing to give their lives for it. Therefore, many believed, and that's the issue. I was trying to share Christ with a man who just doesn't believe, and he won't believe. And he said to me, you have something very precious, something that I can't get. He says, you have faith. And I said, you can have it too, because it's not something that I received of myself. It isn't that I am predisposed to believe the truth. I'm not. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can have faith too. You can believe. It's not hard. It's hear the truth, examine the truth, and believe the truth. And you better know what you believe. Know what you believe. Believe completely with conviction that this is truth. And if it is true, anything that contradicts the word of God is error. And that's what Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians, saying, you be careful, because Satan's masterful at disguising himself as an angel of light, and he transforms his apostles as the apostles of Christ, and he transforms his ministers as the ministers of righteousness. The Bereans wouldn't have fallen for this stuff like the Corinthians did. He says, you suffer fools. You accept fools. You are so gullible. And once you believe completely, you stand firmly. Stand firmly on the word of God, and then proclaim it boldly. It is incumbent to us to not just believe the truth, but how else are we going to help people? How else are we going to help Christians be strong and firmly grounded unless we teach them the truth of God rightly divided? We've got to proclaim it boldly. You have opportunity to share the gospel with the unsaved, with people that I will never in my life touch. I'll never meet them, but you will. You and I have the opportunity to teach Christians who need to hear the word of God and who need to be protected from the gullibility that comes from just believing anything that sounds right and that sounds like light. We need to help people. And Paul said, look, I went through all that I went through. I restricted freedoms that I had. I refused support. I worked hard. I, with tears, day in and day out, day and night, I proclaimed the truth, because I knew that's what helps you. And Paul had a struggle. The struggle was he knew that there was something far better than walking on this earth and enduring the sufferings that he endured. There was something better, being with Christ, being set free from the toils and the turmoils of this world. And he said, I'd rather be with Christ. But he said, I've got this struggle because I deeply long to be with Christ. But on the other hand, it's more needful for you that I remain. And he was happy to remain with all of the suffering, with all of the turmoil, with all of the labors to the point of complete exhaustion, because he was a servant of people. And the way he served them was by teaching them the truth. And so Paul here is warning us about gullibility. The next point, number 9, is be careful about those who accept fools who glory after the flesh, even though it leads to bondage and destruction and great loss and abuse. Paul leaves nothing to your guess about what this does. What does Paul say about these people? He certainly does not mince words. In verse 17 and 18, he says, they glory after the flesh. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. You are making me speak as a man foolishly. I wish I didn't have to, but you need for me to set it clear. He says, seeing that many glory after the flesh. You are believing people who are disguised and transformed as light and righteousness. You better be careful, because here are some of the characteristics of these people. They glory after the flesh. After the flesh. They rely upon their eloquence and education. They rely upon the outward appearance. They rely upon the numbers and what it looks like on the outside. They glory after the flesh. So be careful about men who glory after the flesh. Secondly, he says, they're fools. That's what Paul says. He says, for you suffer fools gladly. You accept fools gladly in their foolishness. In that which appears to be light and righteousness, you gullibly accept these people. You embrace them. You support them. You follow them. You listen to them. You believe them. To your own demise and destruction, you suffer fools. They are fools. They are stupid, senseless fools. Then see what else Paul says. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For you suffer, you accept, if a man bring you into bondage. That's the third characteristic. Their teaching will bring you into bondage. People that come and spy out your liberty will lead you to bondage. The bondage of legalism, the bondage of do's and don'ts, the bondage of trying to ascribe to God that which he's not doing for Christians today, the bondage of praying wrong prayers, the bondage of putting outward appearance and rituals and ceremonies as a substitute for the truth and the reality which is in Jesus Christ. You suffer if a man bring you into bondage. You know, if you've ever been a slave and you've been set free by a ransom payment that was paid by someone else, why would you ever go back into bondage? Does a slave long for an abusive master? Or is a slave delighted to have been set free? And yet he says, you were those who were enslaved in the past. You've been set free by the work of Christ, and you're going back into bondage, and you are allowing teachers, you are tolerating and believing and palling around with teachers who bring you back into bondage. Why would you do that? They bring you back into bondage. You're accepting that. They're fools that glory in the flesh and bring you into bondage. What else do? They devour you. You're accepting of people that are devouring you, that are destroying you. Literally, that get the picture of an animal, of a lion, that goes after a rabbit for a meal. And he chases that rabbit. And he captures that rabbit. And he licks his chops as he devours that rabbit, destroys it, and eats it up. That's the picture. The picture is of someone coming to capture you and eat you up alive, doctrinally, spiritually. And he says, and these are the people that you're tolerating. Is that what Paul was doing to them? Did Paul glory in the flesh? Did Paul bring people into bondage or set them free? There's no greater freedom than being set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Paul preached. There's no greater freedom than to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. The freedom that comes from putting it all together and saying, now I understand what is for me, for today, and the provisions that God has made for us. Now I understand God's program with another people, which is the program that he has with Israel. Now I'm set free. I'm no longer under performance system. I don't have to perform in order to get God's blessings. I don't have to live a certain way to be blessed by God. God has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now I'm free to live for him and to serve others because of what he has already given me, everything, all. What freedom comes from knowing the truth. But these people will devour you. They'll eat you alive if you allow them to. If you are not like the Bereans, listening carefully, investigating thoroughly, believing the truth with conviction, standing firm on it, and proclaiming it boldly, these people devour you. Verse 20. For you suffer. You suffer fools. You suffer these people who bring you into bondage, who devour you. And then he says, they take from you. Look at that. He said, if a man take of you, you are accepting of somebody who's coming to rob you, to take away from you. You gladly and sacrificially give to that which appears to be righteousness but is not, to that which appears to be light and is not. And you're accepting of that. Who is the fool? You are. Because you're tolerating these things. If a man devour you, if a man take of you. Ministry is about giving, not about taking. Ministry is about sacrificially giving to those who have need of the truth and not as a means to receive, as a means to get, as many ministries seek to do. If I can only have a larger ministry and a larger budget and a larger salary and be prominent in my denomination, Paul's opposed to all of that. He said, these people take from you. What else do they do? If a man take of you, verse 20, you suffer if a man exalts himself. You're accepting. If a man stands up and boasts about himself and exalts himself, and you now have to follow him, you now have to serve him, you now have to worship him, you now have to believe everything he says. And he says, those are fools. And you're tolerating that kind of idiocracy. It's wrong. And then he says, you suffer fools who hurt you. They hurt you. Look at what he says. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man eats you alive, devour you, if a man robs you, takes of you, if a man exalts himself And if a man smite you on the face, these people are hurting you. Paul says to the Corinthians, and you don't even know it. You don't even feel the pain of being slapped around by these false teachers, false apostles, who appear to be ministers of righteousness, proclaimers of light. And remember what Paul said when he began this section? He says, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And it will be done by those that present themselves like this. They glory after the flesh, they're fools. They bring you into bondage, they devour you, they exalt themselves, and they will hurt you and you won't even feel it, because that's how insensitive you've become. Why did they become that way? Because they refused to take in strong, sound Bible doctrine. They were babies. Paul says, after 5 years of being Christians, I still can't teach you the truth as I ought to. You're still babies on milk when you should be taking of meat. And not only should you be partaking of meat, you should be teaching others. This was their problem. These were Christians who tolerated that. And then finally, Paul says, it is those who have regard for credentials, pedigree, and status. That's what they look at. That's the standard of whether you should believe somebody or not. That's the standard of whether you should put somebody in a position of leadership in the church or not. Verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein soever any is bold, I am bold also. I speak foolishly. I'm doing this for you. Are they Hebrews? Do they claim to have a pedigree? So am I. Do they claim to be Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham, God's favored chosen people? So am I. That's what they were boasting about. We are Hebrews. We are Israelites. We come from the hierarchy and the church at Jerusalem. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. They come with credentials, with pedigree, and with status in the church. And it all falls apart when it comes in direct perspective and view of the truth, because it's absolutely worthless. So the warning is, be careful. Be careful about what you listen to. Be careful about what you soak in. It is your responsibility to get in the Word of God and hear the truth and find out the truth from God's Word, studying it the way God told us to study it.